Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You're listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday Preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
You work every Tuesday with the food bank and the drop-in for those people who maybe they don't need a food parcel, but they just need a space to come and be. You go out on the streets with Lizzie to talk with some of the sex workers. You were so behind the banquet yesterday. You've got a small group of people, some of whom are coming off drugs, some of whom are coming out of prison, some people that others might overlook. So tell us, what motivates you to want to help those who are in need? That's my
fault. Hello.
Sorry. I turned it off, not on. Sorry. Have mercy.
So for me, it's like, I don't know, it's just in me. I know it's Jesus, yeah. But it's just there. It's like, you know, I just see people and then it's like, oh. And then I'm just moved. I'm just moved inside me to go over and... And then as I'm walking over, I'm like, all right, Jesus, what is it? Where are we going? What are we doing? You know, because I have to, because if I don't, I'll mess up. I'll be honest. Yeah. So I just get moved and I just do it, don't you? It's simple, isn't it? It's not complicated, really.
Tell us how you make the distinction between walking past somebody and thinking... Maybe you walk past a homeless person, right? And you think, oh, that's really sad. And then you walk past somebody and you feel that gift of... It's like, I need to do so. Like, what's the difference between just seeing... Because there's a lot of people in need,
yeah,
right? So how do you not get overwhelmed by wanting to respond or do something for absolutely everybody? How do you make the... What's the differentiation between, yeah, I recognise you're in need, but I don't feel like God's calling me to do anything to particularly help you in this moment, and somebody for whom you feel the gift of mercy. Help us understand that a bit.
Okay, so when you walk past someone homeless, I just see them and I never ignore them. I always acknowledge them. Hi, all right. And I think what happened was when I first started my journey, I was there with everyone. I was there. And then I learned along the journey that... a lot of time it was me feeling like I just wanted to love on them. But yet, as I've, grown in Jesus, it's more like when I'm moved, I'll pray with them or I'll go to them. And there is them I don't go to. And I look and I don't get a move from God to do it. And I think he works in your personality and how you are. Because I've been with some people and I've not been moved, but they have. Do you know what I mean? And they've gone over and I'm like, well, what are they doing that for? Do you know? But then the Lord sort of like said, well, they're not you. You know, we're all different, aren't we? And it's like, I don't know. It's like I just move. Do you know? I just do what he does. And I've got to be honest, I'm not always right. I've gone over, and do you know when I found out when it's not been him? Because they've said, what do you want? And I thought, ooh, heck, what's that about? Have I said, well, I didn't mean to say that. And it's like, go on, what are you trying to say about me? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, I'm really sorry. Can I pray for you? No, I'll get lost and I'm off.
Okay.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, so it's a helpful sign. So that's a bit of the stuff about the person of peace. So in Luke chapter 10 and other places, Jesus talks about a person of peace, someone who will listen to you, someone who will welcome you, someone who will work alongside you and support you. So that's a helpful way of working out. Okay, maybe I heard that one wrong, but on on Thursday at this planting conference, this amazing lady, Bishop Jill Duff, was here speaking, and she talked about how the word compassion means getting like moved in the guts. You know, you just feel this gut wrench. And that's coming to mind as you're talking about this, when you're prompted with this gift of mercy. It's like something moves in your guts, yeah. And you go, oh, okay, maybe the Lord's stirring me to do something about this. Is that kind of what you're describing?
It's like that a bit, but it's more of a like, there's a peace with it. It's like a different kind of, not my peace felt like that. It's just like a know inside me that, oh. And it's like, I'm like, I don't know, my eyes are drawn as well. Like, my eyes will be drawn. You know, like the meerkats that go like that. It's like that, honest. It's like, oh. And then I'm off. You know, and I just move, and as I move, it gets stronger.
Yeah. So it sounds, I remember Lizzie talking about being that willingness to be interrupted by Jesus,
yeah,
or the Holy Spirit. And it sounds like you're willing to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit. So tell us some stories, Michelle, about how you've seen Jesus use your gift of mercy. How have you seen him work as you've given him your yes and you've tried to reach out to people?
Okay, so I'll use a couple of stories, no names, basically, but just a couple of girls that the, if we like, the outside agencies and even some churches just have not been able to even help. They've helped, but not really, you know. So they seem to have given up. It's like, oh, well, there's no change. It's just the same. Oh, she'll be back, and statements like that. And it's like the Lord sort of like put me in a place in a cafe shop or in the street, and they've come along and we've sat down and we've chatted, and then one thing's gone to another, and then it's been, well, let me pray for you. So I've prayed for them. They've needed a coffee, we've got a coffee. They've needed clothes. Ooh, where can I get them? What church? Or where can I get this? They've needed food. Ooh, we can do that by this. I know such a body. And then sharing Jesus, my life with them as well, of where I've been and what I've done. And listening to them, because that's what they need. They need to hear you listen to them, to know that you're just there and you're listening and you're not judging them or condemning them. But the one thing is, you never give up. And like this one, she's been there, she's gone, she's there, she's gone, she's there, she's there, she's gone. And they're all like, where is she? And it's like, well, I'll just go and have a look for her. You know, and there was, and one incident, it was, she disappeared. She's going through so much seriously. She's homeless and everything. I won't go into a story because I don't want them to link the story to the person, but it is horrendous. And everybody's give up. And it was like, something happened in her life that just tipped her right over the edge, and nobody knew. And all of a sudden, I'm in a chemist. She's there. She's all black and blue. I said, come with me. We sit outside a coffee shop. Somebody comes over. Then the police come. And then next thing, we're in the police station. We're supporting her. Then we're out. And then she had no phone. She had nothing. And then that night, I get a call. I was hearing your conversation, and I've got a phone, and that girl needs a phone. And I went, where are you? I'll meet you. So I got the phone. Then I couldn't find her, see? So I'm ringing all the homeless guys. Have you seen her? Have you seen her? Where is she? Where is she? And then I got a call back. She's here with me. I'm coming. Don't let her go. I'm coming. Stay with her. So I gets in my car, runs round. Here! Here! Put the phone in, and it was like, it was just life for her at that moment. And she's still where she is, but you've just got to keep going, haven't you? Till that right time. And pray with them and just go. Just do it, innit? Sorry, Gareth, let's, I don't do know it. What to do.
It's good. You're doing really great. And I think sometimes we complicate it, don't we?
Yeah.
We try and make it a bit too complicated. And that gift of mercy is, I was thinking as you were talking, just like Barnabas used his agency, like his reputation and the things that he had to help Saul, that's exactly what you're doing. You're doing that. You're seeing where you can get things to help other people and have mercy towards them.
Yeah. Can I just say about the woman in the cafe, though, because she didn't know me, but the people in the cafe knew me, and she sourced them to find me.
Mm.
Did you get what I mean?
Great.
Is God in it? How can you not want a bit of Jesus? I don't understand it, do you? I'm sorry, but I don't.
Amen. So, Michelle, how somebody sitting here watching online, how might someone nurture or develop this gift of mercy that you seem to, it just seems to bubble out of you, and it's beautiful. And if you don't know Michelle's story, then just, you know, ask her and Daz around for lunch one day and get them to tell you their story so that you can hear about what God has done in their lives. And it's just beautiful. But so it seems to just bubble out of you. For those of us like me, I'm an introvert. I walk past a homeless person and I've learned from Lizzie. I'll look at them in the eye and I'll go, huh? So that's me being massively extrovert, all right? So I've learned that, okay, I can go and I can buy them a sandwich or whatever, but I often go away thinking, I've tried to be like Jesus. I haven't shared the good news of Jesus with them. I haven't. How do people grow in this gift of mercy? When you feel that Holy Spirit nudge, how do we get better at giving him our yes? How can we learn from your confidence in God's gift of mercy so that we can grow that confidence ourselves?
You just got to take a risk, to be honest, because the way I grew in the Lord, I get up and have my time with him, I pray, I do my Bible. I'm constantly, and it's a relationship, isn't it? And you just got to take a risk. So basically for me, it's like when Jesus, I'll give you a quick start, right? Basically when I was growing in it, I was in this cafe yet again. I was in this cafe and the Lord said to me, I want you to go speak with that guy there. I said, I'm not going talking to that guy. What are you talking? Can't just randomly talk to a guy. He said, I want you to tell him, and I want you to tell him something. I said, no, I'm not doing that. He's with his wife. Forget it. She'll think I'm hitting on him, you know. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And then what will my husband think, not doing that? No. So I got all this fear in me, right? And I think that was the key, because I got scared, right? Like, no, I'm not doing that. So I went to the toilet. And I had this conversation, you know, with God, and I said, I am not going up to a random guy and just telling him something, what you're putting in my head, it ain't happening. And the Lord said, yes, you are. I said, no. I said, I'm too scared. And he said, well, how are you going to grow in me if you don't know and you don't try? And I went, oh. Isn't it? It's one of them, isn't it? I went, okay. So I come out and I'm like this inside. I'm like, oh, gosh. So I just went over to him, and as I'm walking, I didn't even know what I was going to say. As I'm walking over to him, it came in my mind that the Lord showed me he's going through a real hard time, and he's really sick right now, and him and his wife are really not, you know, scared. They're scared, like. So I just went over, and I said, excuse me, do you mind if I just have a word with your husband? I said, I'm a Christian. And she just went, oh, yeah. And he just went, like this. And I said, look, I've just been sat over there, and the Lord just says to me, and I reeled out his story. And he broke down in tears. And she went, tell him more. And, you know, and then I walked off. But I've got to tell, I walked off, and I went, don't ever do that with me. But I'll be... And I'll tell you what, it started happening, and it does, and then it goes quiet. But it's, and I remember it's like, for me, it's like, it's that fear has never left me. If you know what I mean, it's not a fear like, ooh, it's not, I know fear from my past with drugs, drink, prison, violence, abuse, all that. I know fear. This isn't that kind, it's not that kind of fear. it's a fear of, oh God, what if it's not you? And I remember the Lord said to me once when I felt like that, but what if it's not you? They might just, you know, deck me one or kick off, and then what do I do? Because I can't hit them anymore. Do you know them kind of things? And the Lord just said, because that's what you do, don't you? And the Lord, he just said to me, he just said, and it's in the, be a fool for Christ. And I went, oh, I don't mind doing that. I'm in for that. And you just got to do it, haven't you? And you'll grow them. Because over the years, then, you still have the fear, but you get to hear him and know him, and you know how he nudges you and how he moves your eyes and how he does this with you. Do you get what I mean? It might be that he just might give you... I've seen some... Have you ever seen this? Where they go? With their head? Yeah. I've seen it, and that's God nudging them, because I asked them once, I said, what do you do that for? They said, it's the Lord. I went, oh! We're all different, aren't we?
We are.
Do you get what I mean?
What comes to mind is, when you're describing that, is the scriptures where Jesus said, you know, if you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross. You've got to deny yourself. Yeah. And I was teaching at the 9:30 this morning about how it's actually costly to show the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to do a series on that after the summer, just to press in a bit more into the fruits that the Holy Spirit grows in us. But it's costly to love. It's costly to be patient. It's costly to be kind.
Can I put in there? Do you know what? I know it's...
I don't think I've got an option.
Sorry.
Yes, of course you can.
No, but you triggered me. It's so basically, right, every time when you're out there, I'll tell you now, the Lord has never failed me. He's always made sure I've got enough money to buy a coffee, I've got enough money to buy a shirt, I've got enough money to... He's always done it. Whenever he moves you, he'll provide. He does. I'll tell you now.
Love it.
Yeah. Even to the point I found money to give.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm on it now, so you better get me off.
It's all right. I'm going to get you to pray in a minute. The gift of mercy is about seeing someone the way that the Lord sees them and using your agency to help others see that person the way the Lord sees them. Does that make sense? Because what we're inclined to do is see things the way that everybody else does. But the Holy Spirit sees them as a valued, loved child of God that he made and formed and longs to be in relationship with. And we put all of these other value judgments on someone that we see. And the Lord, through the gift of mercy, helps us see that person the way that he sees them, and then invites us with a little nudge, maybe in the guts, invites us either through a prophetic word of knowledge that we get to know something, like you talked about that guy in the... you get to know something that you wouldn't otherwise have naturally have known. Or like Barnabas, you've just got information about this person that other people don't know, and you use that information, either supernaturally or naturally gained, to... you use your agency to help others see that person the way the Lord sees them. Does that make sense? Oh, great. Three people are nodding. That's good news.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.